the boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to their custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it, thinking he was in their company. They travelled on for a day, and then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxious, searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 2. That's on page 636 of the Church Bibles. Proverbs chapter 2, page 636. I'm starting from verse 1. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Wisdom will save you also from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words, who has left the partner of her youth and ignored the covenant she made before God. Surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. None who go to her return or attain the paths of life. Thus you will walk in the ways of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous, for the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the faithful will be torn from it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please do keep the Bibles open at Proverbs chapter 2. Let me pray before we look in the passage. Yeah, Father God, we thank you that you have given your word for us. In your word we find wisdom, and above all, your Son has come as wisdom incarnate and has saved us and united us in him so that we could grow in wisdom and understanding and find life and life everlasting in him. We pray that even today as we listen to your word, you help us to grow in wisdom, and for those who are seeking to find life in Christ and grow in wisdom. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes after major sports tournaments like the Olympics, I listen to the Olympic medalists' interviews. I'm quite struck some of the medalists have started pursuing a sport at a very young age, even at the age of 5, and have worked hard many decades in the midst of all challenges of injuries and setbacks and not being qualified. But they all pursued for a long, long time before they stood at the podium holding a medal. But that kind of pursuit sometimes feels like ungodly. But in the Bible, having godly ambitions and pursuing godly things is a good thing. The Bible teaches us that we need to be pursuing the things of God. We need to be pursuing it with all our hearts. We need to have great ambitions for our lives, to lay hold on everything that God has for our life. And that is what we see in this passage we have in Proverbs, where we see a godly father who is urging his son, a young man, to be ambitious and to pursue wisdom. So the answer the father gives applies not only to young men, but it applies to men as well as women, young and the old, rich and the poor, educated and the uneducated. Because the Father says, seek wisdom above all else. That would be our first point. You should pursue wisdom above all else. Pursue wisdom. So to start with, let's read the first 4 verses again. The Father says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. So here we start with, we could see in verse 1, we see the Father is calling his son to listen to his words and to store up his commandments within him. But actually, this human father is urging his son to accept his words because he's going to call his son to accept the words of God the Father in the Bible. That we see in verse 2 where he says, turn your ears to wisdom, that the wisdom that comes from God. So there was no television or social media, but there might have been some kind of distractions in the ancient world. So the father says, you have to make a conscious effort, my son, to turn your ear to the teachings of the Bible. Find ways to cut out other distracting voices and turn your ear to the voice of wisdom. That's something the father has talked about in the previous chapter. When we go home and have a look from chapter 1, verse 20 onwards, out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. There is a voice of wisdom that is available, and we do have it available in the Bible. And the father says, make a conscious effort, my son, to listen. Turn your ears, listen to the voice that comes from God. And he says, apply your heart to understanding. In verse 2, sometimes I come via the Beam Park here in Dagenham to church, and I have seen dads having conversations with their sons after football training or football match. The fathers have said things like, I don't see you listening to the coach instructions. You're not focused. Is your heart in it? I don't want you training like this for the next 15 years. Be fully focused. Put your heart and soul into the game. And this is the kind of thing the father in today's Bible passage is also saying. Apply your heart to understanding. Don't see pursuing wisdom as a just an intellectual thing. Put your heart and soul into it. Then he says, verse 3, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, it is about calling out and crying aloud to God. The father wants his son to seek wisdom prayerfully. So pursuing wisdom is not for those who look for things to work out with a click of a button. It's not like going to be easy and comfortable. You've got to be ready to wrestle with God in prayer. Even more, the Father says, if you look for wisdom as a hidden treasure, so you see in verse 4, if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure. Some people, when they know there is a hidden ancient treasure of golden coins in the area, they do spend decades searching for it, don't they? Here in this passage, the father says, you have to take the same approach of treasure hunters when it comes to seeking wisdom. Verse 4, if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure. This is hard work. This would consume your time and energy. But the father wants his son to make it his ambition to pursue wisdom above all else in life. Has this been your ambition in life? To seek God's wisdom on a daily basis as a hidden treasure? If not, would you consider to make it an ambition in your life from today? The father says to the son, it is worth it. And from verse 6 onwards, the father teaches his son what would follow if he seeks wisdom above all else. And that we'll see under our next heading, which comes in the next slide. You will enjoy a blessed life God has for you. The father says, if you pursue wisdom, you're going to have a blessed life. So in the Bible, blessedness means you're being blessed by God with all that God has in store for you. You won't miss out on anything that God has in store for you. Firstly, the father says, you will be blessed with things related to God. You will understand the fear of God, which you see in verse 5. You will understand the fear of the Lord. This is something the father has taught the son in the first chapter that we saw last week. In chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what is the fear of the Lord? Last week we saw some examples. One of them is when the power crashes in the supermarket and the lights go out and the security gate fails. No one will see you if you walk out with the goods you have not paid for. If you do that, then you do not have fear of the Lord. If you have fear of the Lord, you know God sees you all the time. Whether you're on the phone or you're in the dark when no one watches, you're not hidden from Him. You want to do the things that is right in the sight of God. And that is the fear of the Lord. So when you pursue wisdom with all your heart, the Father says, you figure out there is no way to get wise without the fear of the Lord. Then there is the blessing of having the knowledge of God. So that also we see in verse 5, he says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It is God's plan from creation onwards. You see that right from the first chapter in the book, in the first book of the Bible, that God, humans were created in God's image, and we have a great privilege to grow in the knowledge of God and delight in it. Jesus said in the New Testament that to have the knowledge of God and to have the knowledge of His Son Jesus Christ is eternal life. That is what, even in today's passage, the Father wants for His Son. It is just not knowing theology. It's not about going to a theological college and having a degree. It's about knowing God personally and rightly and submitting to Him as who He is. Enjoying a right relationship with God and fearing Him rightly. Why is the right knowledge and attitude towards God important? The Father knows, the God of the Bible, the Lord, if you look down verse 6, it's mentioned, the Lord, mentioned in verse 6, is the one who gives wisdom. So if you read verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes understanding. So this is also something we see all through the Bible. We as humans are called to seek God and His wisdom with all our heart. But it is God who freely gives it to us. It is not because we seek it that we earn wisdom as a reward for our hard work. We don't earn it. No, we seek wisdom, but God gives it freely to as a gift. The knowledge and the wisdom of God never comes without searching, but it never comes as a reward for our searching. If you had sought the Lord, become a Christian, and grown in maturity, our searching should not make us proud. It should make us humble. For wisdom that leads to knowledge of God is a gift from God. And if you are a seeker here and not a Christian and have not known the God of the Bible, there is nothing to despair. As Jesus said, keep seeking, keep knocking. And as this Father says to the Son, pursue wisdom with all your heart. And God at some point will gift you with the wisdom of God. The Father wants His Son to pursue wisdom, for you see, having God's wisdom means you also enjoy God's protection, which we will see from verse 7 onwards. Let me read it for you. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose way of life is blameless. For He guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just. So you see from verse 7 and 8, the Father is talking about a success, a victory that can only come from God when He protects us, when He shields us, when He guards us and He protects us. This is an imagery of the war, and there needs to be a victory at the end of the war, and it can only come from God. Here in England and in the UK, during Remembrance Sunday in November, we think about the soldiers who have shielded, who have guarded and protected the people of this country from the enemy nations during the World War I and II. They are remembered for what they have done for us. Here in this passage, we see God is shielding, He is guarding, He is protecting and bringing victory to the upright, the blameless, and the just, and His faithful ones. What kind of protection does God offer in this world? If you look down from verse 9 onwards, what the Father teaches is one of the ways He protects His children is by keeping them in the right path. The path that leads to right, the path that leads to life. So let it read me for you, read it for you. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. The wisdom that comes from God protects us from being lured or seduced into a path that leads to death. You can see that from verse 12 onwards. We'll come to that in a few minutes. But first, We will look at another blessing that comes from pursuing wisdom and understanding that is right of developing a true moral character. So in a modern world, character doesn't matter at all, isn't it? Who bothers if someone is brash or arrogant, selfish, highly immoral? As long as they go on to win the Olympic medal or become the president of a powerful nation. We might be a bit shocked about it, but at the end of the day you think, oh, they are serial winners, they keep on winning. What really matters is that they win. Who they are doesn't really matter, isn't it? But this father wants a son to pursue wisdom so that he would be blessed to be a man of character. This is the second blessing we see from pursuing wisdom. If you look down verse 9, he says, you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. Wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So this father is not talking about wisdom to be as a head knowledge. The father wants his son to have a heart and a soul's deep understanding of morality. When you come to the New Testament, we find that truly transformed hearts comes through the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives to us. If you're not a Christian, this is something to consider. Would you like your heart to be filled with goodness? Who would you turn for help? The Father understands that by filling our hearts with goodness is the way God protects us from the problems of life. We see that from verse 11 onwards. We have discretion and understanding when we know what is good, and that will protect us. The kind of wisdom, the kind of protection wisdom offers is spelled out a bit more in detail in verses 12 to 19. So in verse 12 it says, wicked men, their words are perverse. They try to confuse us with their arguments and persuasions. But the thing is, the wisdom can protect us from such men. These men are not those who value what is good and just, but they are preferred to go in dark ways. You see that in verse 13. We see such kind of people in schools, in universities, in your workplace. We know they are evil. We know they want to do wicked things. But sometimes we choose to go along with them. Partly it's because our desires are wrong and we get along with them. Partly because our hearts are filled with greed and lust and fear. And many a time security alarms and CCTV cameras are not going to stop us from or protect us from these wicked men. We need wisdom. You need goodness that shapes your heart. Then you won't hang out and spend most of your time during the week with wicked men or women. It's just not for people like us. Even for influential people, take the case of Jeffrey Epstein, a person who is in the news for the wrong reasons. He was arrested for criminal activities in America, put in prison, and died some time ago. But police officials are trying to uncover the people who were associated with him. Names of presidents, princes, ambassadors are all disclosed to have very close association with him. Why do people go and associate with such people? And why do they want to get trapped in this kind of difficulty at a later stage? That's why the father wants to warn the son, fill your heart with goodness that comes from God's wisdom. Then you will know you can keep a distance from these wicked men. Wisdom not only guards us from wicked men and women, but it also guards us from wayward men and women that we see from verse 16 onwards. Here it talks about adultery. It is being unfaithful to the marriage promise you made to your husband or wife before God. All through the book of Proverbs, keeping one's word is fundamental to leading a wise and moral character. Adultery is an example of not keeping one's word or promise. Here is a woman that is mentioned because the father is trying to protect his son. But if he had spoken to his daughter, he would have spoken about adulterous men. So the adulterous person is like an evil man. Both the evil man mentioned earlier and the adulterous woman, they speak tempting but deceptive words. They both speak words and influence people. So you see that in verse 16 onwards. The wisdom will save you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. So again, the wayward woman is using words to seduce men. So this is the thing. The father is thinking, how will my son escape the traps set by these evil voices in the society? Unless he pursues wisdom and stores his heart with what God teaches as right and just, there is no way any son would escape the traps set by these voices. Why the son can't listen to the voices of the evil the men and the adult, why the son shouldn't listen to the voices of the evil men and the adulterous women? Because the father thinks the consequences are serious. The choice to listen to the voice of wisdom and to the voice of the evil people does not lead to the son choosing between the wise and the less wise ways or the best and the good choices. No, the son ends up choosing between life and death. If you look at verse 18, surely her house leads down to death and her paths to the spirits of the dead. That's not what the son will think, isn't it, when he sees a wayward woman. He would think, I'm going to a house to have a good night. That's what he's going to think. But the father warns him, if you are going to go there, you will soon be welcomed by the dead spirits to the place where they live. Better be careful. In verse 19, none who go that way may attain the paths of life. Son, the father says, it's not to be taken lightly. You're playing with life and death. Do not follow the evil voices. You are going to face death soon. Listen to the voice of wisdom. It will lead you into the right path, a good and righteous path. It will help you to be part of a healthy community. That's what you see in verse 21 and 22. If he's able to avoid the wicked men and the wayward women, he will be able to be involved with the people who are godly. He will be able to be, he will be able to be in the land that God has for his people. The father says, son, it's worth pursuing wisdom. Devoting your life and all your energies to for the alternative is terrible, being cut off from the land. Which in verse 22, for it says, the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Yes, the Olympian gold medalist would feel it is worth it, of all the challenges they face in life, to pursue after a medal for many decades. And that's what the father says to the son. It'll be worth it, my son. One day when you're in the land that God has promised for you, and you're always there with God, it'll all be worth it. Pursue wisdom. You will end up having a blessed life. And in the New Testament books of the Bible, Christians no longer look for a physical land. We know God has promised us a place in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will dwell with God for eternity. And so this should motivate us as Christians to pursue God's wisdom all the more diligently. We want to enjoy the blessings that has been won for us freely and undeservedly for Christ. Maybe if you're someone who is here and you feel you are someone who has thought about going in a wicked way or being a wayward person, it's never late. God is merciful. He forgives all sins. He wants all the best He has in store for you. We can all look to Him for forgiveness and a new life. Let us all pursue wisdom that comes from God and remain blessed. Let me pray. Father God, we thank You for all that You have in store for us. Give us eyes of faith to see it and help us to run a race in pursuit of all that You have in store of us with the wisdom You give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.